The following program is a paid commercial announcement. The sponsor is responsible for its content, which Talk Radio 790 KBC does not necessarily endorse or support.
Welcome to Gervie's Law. You're listening to Talk Radio 790 KABC. I am Alan Gervie, and I'm here with my co-host Bailey Rad. Both of us work at the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn, and we are here to turn upside down Murphy's Law. Murphy's Law. Remember that law that said everything that can go wrong will go wrong? We're here to tell you that everything that can go wrong can also go right. We're trying to do something good here, and today's show is going to be really interesting. Bailey, are you excited to talk about what we're going to talk about today?
I am very excited. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and this is a topic that's near and dear to our hearts. I've been in workers' compensation for over 20 years now, and we have a very successful, if I can say that. Bailey, are you going to dispute that?
No, I'm firm? Not going to dispute that. I don't think many people would.
All right. So we have a firm called Law Firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, and we've been dealing with workers' compensation almost exclusively for over 40 years, way before my time. But we know workers' compensation, and we're going to talk today about the F word.
What's that?
Oh, what do you think it is?
It's the worst word I could ever hear at work.
That's right. It's called fraud. And you know what? You just told me something that the public thinks is true. That is fraud by the injured worker.
Everybody thinks that all injured workers are fraud. It's kind of what the media has portrayed workers to be, and it's pretty sad and devastating on people's lives.
Isn't it terrible when we have a client come into our office, they fell off a scaffolding 16 feet, and they're trying to plead with us that they are not frauds. I am not a fraud. Because that's what they are taught in the media.
Well, everyone, when I talk to family members, friends, anybody I talk to, when I say I do workers' compensation, the first thing they say is, well, aren't they all frauds?
And let me tell you something, Bailey. The statistics show that 1 to 2% of injured workers are actual frauds. In 20 years of doing this kind of work, I don't know that I can remember two people who were actually accused of fraud.
It's true. Everybody I talk to says that everybody's faking it. But the truth of the matter is that it doesn't make sense under the current workers' compensation system to fake it, because no amount of money in workers' compensation compensates anyone for the devastation that they suffer in their lives as a result of the injury.
Or for just being out of work. I'll tell you, if you can continue to work in this environment, you need to work. And why would anyone throw that away to be put into a system that has so much red tape you can't even deal with how to get through the system? You know, it's interesting because what we're talking about today is workers' compensation fraud from the other perspective, from the employers and from the insurance companies. I want to read a quote from David DiPaolo. David DiPaolo is the founder of the website Work Comp Central, and that's a website that we read on a daily basis. It's not on one side or another. It's not for the defendants. It's not for the applicants. And by the way, applicants are the injured workers. They call them applicants. And I'm reading David DiPaolo's quote. He says, and by the way, David's a Facebook friend of mine.
Oh,
so
nice.
Maybe sometime we can have him on the show.
That would be good.
I am sick and tired of the self-congratulatory insurance company press releases boasting about small-time fraud busts. Parentheses. SCIF is ironically, and SCIF is State Compensation Insurance Fund, is ironically guilty of this media puffery. End parens. I am sick and tired of employers blaming injured workers for their skyrocketing insurance premiums, when typically the blame, more often than not, should be directed at recalcitrant brokers milking a commission schedule because of under-regulation.
I think it's interesting because the word that I associate with my injured workers is shame. I feel that when they come into my office, they have a lot of shame about the fact that they're hurting, they're injured, and that it happened at work. Now, when you get injured and go to the doctor for just a regular injury, you don't have these types of emotions that you have when it's a work injury. All of a sudden, they're not feeling good. They know it's an accident happened at work, and they have complete and utter shame, to the point where I have injured workers who will not sign up because they're so afraid. They're afraid of that their bosses will fire them. They're afraid that their families will leave them. And they're afraid that their friends think that they're just in it to make a lot of money.
Notwithstanding, Bailey, the fact is that they're really injured. People get injured. And by the way, folks, workers' compensation is the exclusive jurisdiction for work injuries. That means that you can't sue your employer. You have to go through the claim form process in workers' compensation. Now, what you ask...
It's pretty hard to fake an MRI result.
Okay, Bailey, that may be true. But let's talk about the other side of the coin. What is employer fraud and what is insurance company fraud? I just want to throw this out to our listeners so that they can think about it, because I'm sure a lot of people have not thought about this at all. The employer intentionally refuses to purchase insurance for its employees, thus forcing the taxpayer to pick up significant medical bills through Medicare or Medicaid. Do you know how many employers underreport how many employees they have, or they don't talk about how much money the employers are working, or how many people are classified as independent contractors when they're actually employees? That is all done to avoid paying premiums for workers' compensation insurance.
Okay, Alan, we know that there's employers that are fraudulent, and obviously there's some people who have fake injuries as well, but not all employers are bad.
Absolutely not. You know, we don't want to give the idea that everyone out there who employees are trying to screw their employees, because that's not at all true. We see examples every day where the employers actually take care of their injured workers. They appreciate the work that people do for them. So we give kudos to those people.
It's true. I've seen employers driving their employees to the hospital in their own car when they get injured on the job. And it's not all black and white.
What people don't understand is that when someone does file a workers' compensation claim, the insurance company will call the employer and ask what happened. They ask the employer whether they think that actually an injury took place. And a lot of employers will say, yeah, you should give him the benefits because it was really sad what happened. But then there are employers who are not at all honest about what occurred at work.
It's true. And I've also seen adjusters from the insurance companies who are very honest and they care about the injured worker and make sure that they administer benefits and medical treatment correctly.
You know, there are two types of adjusters, the way I look at it. One is the adjuster who sees their job as an administration of benefits. What they're trying to do is provide benefits under a delivery system where they deliver the benefits. And they are looking for the truth and they're trying to help the injured worker in any way that that adjuster can. And then, unfortunately, there are a lot of adjusters who do everything in their power to deny and delay. And these are people that I truly don't understand. I don't know why they take it so personally, why they feel that they have to screw the injured worker. And I apologize for saying screwing the injured worker, but that's how I feel, that there are a lot of adjusters who just take this whole thing personally and they go to any lengths to try and deny benefits.
That's true in some cases. I know that one of my best friends from college was an adjuster for many years, and they're under a lot of pressure. They have so many files and so many injured workers. Caseload is so big that it's very difficult. They're stressed out. They have time constraints and pressure from the insurance company to get everything done, and it's very difficult. I think that they have a large turnover because of the stress of the job.
Bailey, that's an excellent point. You know, what we want to look at is the difference between fraud and people who are just doing a job, people who are under stress. And the fact of the matter is that there are a lot of adjusters who are doing a horrible job, but then there are a lot of adjusters who are doing a fantastic job. Later in the show, we're going to talk to Steve Hopcraft. And Steve Hopcraft is the president of Hopcraft Communications, which is a full-service communications consulting firm which specializes in nonprofit and public interest community organizations. And he has got a lot to say about this subject. Stay tuned. You're listening to Talk Radio 790 KVC. This is Gervie's Law. We'll be right back.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
We're back here at Gervie's Law. I'm Alan Gervie of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. That's at rgwlawfirm.com, www.rgwlawfirm.com. I'm here with the inimitable Bailey Rad, who has so much to say on this. I don't think I'm going to get a word in edgewise.
Welcome. Hello, everyone. I have a lot to say on this. And
hello.
If you get injured, you can call us.
Okay. I want to talk about an LA Times article that was in the newspaper approximately 2.5 months ago. It's called Dubious Claims for Workers' Comp Rise. That's the article that was published in the LA Times in the front section. Now, what we're seeing here, Bailey, is the fact that the insurance companies and the industry is promoting fraud in the public by injured workers. When
Correct.
It's our position, working in this field for so many years, that we just ain't seeing that fraud that they're talking about. In fact, at a conference, there was a Nestle representative who claimed that there were 35% of the claims from Nestle that were fraudulent. And then when she was asked, who is your source? What is the
Where
source
did you get
for that?
This from? Right.
Guess what she said?
Insurance companies?
Exactly. She didn't know. She said, I'm not so sure, but I think it's insurance companies. And the first paragraph says the total number of workers' compensation claims nationwide is dropping, but the number of questionable claims is rising, according to a new study. People read this, they're not even thinking about who did the study. Well, let's find out who did the study. This is according to the National Insurance Crime Bureau, a nonprofit company supported by more than 1,000 insurance companies. That's a nonprofit company supported by 1,000 insurance companies. Tell me something, Bailey. When were insurance companies ever involved in nonprofits?
I've not heard of this before, so.
Right.
This is new.
So they say during a certain period of time, there were questionable claims that have risen from 2011 to 2012. Go ahead. What are questionable claims?
I don't know. What are they saying?
Well,
is
they're
it
saying
just made up?
It's according to the insurance companies, not according to the law. We go to court every day, mostly, and we're in front of judges. We have to talk to the judges. We have to follow the law. So, Bailey, I'm not sure that people understand when the media gets a hold of this issue about workers' comp fraud and they put it out there in newspapers, on TV, anywhere, that the public takes it really seriously, notwithstanding the fact that there aren't sources that are objective that really look at the rate of fraud in the workers' compensation arena.
Well, yeah, I think when people read the LA Times, it's not the same thing as reading Us Magazine or People Magazine, where you don't know if the stories are true or not. The LA Times is kind of an intellectual newspaper where you would think that they would be doing investigations and the stuff that they're putting in it is kind of true. And that's how I read the newspaper.
Bailey, not kind of true. That is true, that if they have a balanced approach where they look at both sides and say, hey, Is this really true, or is this just a bunch of insurance companies who are trying to justify the increase in raising your premiums?
Right. I don't think the public realizes
that. We all get hit by it.
Right. I don't think the public realizes that the newspaper is just a blog. I never knew that newspapers were just a blog. I thought that it was actually investigative reporting.
Well,
so it's unfortunate because it's not good for injured workers. And truthfully, all people who work have the potential and risk of being an injured worker.
Isn't it
it's
true?
It's not like these people we put off on the side and we shame them and we say that they're all liars.
Right.
They're just regular people who are working.
Bailey, tell me something. Isn't it true that every day in your office you get someone who comes in who has been seriously injured through no fault of their own, and they are getting screwed by the system? They are getting denied benefits. No one is believing them. They're not getting claim forms. They're not getting treatment. They're not getting indemnity benefits, and they're stuck out of a job, out of work, even though through no fault of their own, they got injured on the job.
Even more than that, I mean, I think that the public should be angry when insurance companies deny the injury. They deny benefits to the injured workers, and the injured workers end up going on state disability, Social Security disability, which we're all paying as taxpayers into. And I think that that's what people should be angry about. Meanwhile, the insurance company is still collecting their premiums from employers, from businesses, and they're not paying it out when someone actually gets injured at the appropriate rates. And the injured worker then suffers and has to go on to state disability, Social Security disability, and the insurance company is saving all the money. That's where all the profits are.
Right. And do you know what? The fraud, that if there was fraud in the system, it comes out of insurance companies' profits. I've never seen so many people in the public so interested in insurance companies' profits. It's not coming out of their pocket. The 1% or the 2% comes from a big, fat profit that these insurance companies are making off of you, off of the people.
And the reality is that most people work their entire lives and they never file a claim. They never get injured. And then the other reality is I know a lot of people who work with their injuries. They just never file. They go to their own doctor. They treat on their own. And the insurance companies still collect premiums from employers for work injuries. But most people don't file. The filings are a very small percentage of people who are working.
You know, Bailey, we need to talk to an expert on this. After the break, we're going to bring on Steve Hopcraft. Steve Hopcraft is of Hopcraft Communications, which is a full-service communications consulting firm, and it specializes in serving the nonprofit and public interest community. Steve helps out the California Applicants Attorneys Association, who represent injured workers. We want to hear what he has to say about bad faith in the workers' comp insurance industry and about fraud. We will be right back. We are getting really revved up here. You're listening to Talk Radio 790 KBC. I am Alan Gervey, and this is Gervey's Law.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey & Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervey & Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey & Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervey & Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
And we're back right here on Gervey's Law. You're listening to Talk Radio 790 KBC. Bailey, we're really getting heated up about this topic. Is that just because we work in this area?
Probably. We see it all day, every day.
It's amazing because we'll sit here with guests from all walks of life and we won't get as passionate as we are about workers' comp fraud and the fact that the workers, the employees, are the ones who are getting the brunt of the propaganda and of all of the negative publicity that we see on a daily basis.
It's a very tough topic.
It is. And you know what? We're just so privileged now to have with us Steve Hopcraft, who is one of California's most accomplished public relations and campaign management professionals. What I love about Steve Hopcraft is that he takes underdogs and makes them winners. We're all about that on Gervie's Law, making it right. Steve, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Oh, thank you, Alan. Thank you, Billy.
Welcome.
So, Steve, you know, we're happy to have you. We know that you work closely with the California Applicant Attorneys Association, who are the representatives for injured workers throughout the state of California. And I know that you have spent a lot of time studying fraud and bad faith on the part of the employers and on the part of the insurance companies. Tell us, Steve, what you see is where the most fraud is found in the system.
Well, the first thing I would say is that, you know, fraud ultimately harms injured workers. It's injured workers who have their health and their livelihoods at stake here. Yes, employers want their workers back to work, but in today's labor market, they usually can find someone else. And insurance companies are all about making money. So let's not forget that the people with the most at stake in terms of combating fraud are injured workers themselves. And so California Applicants Attorneys Association, along with the California Labor Federation and Voters Injured at Work and other organizations, we oppose fraud by anyone. Anyone who is engaging in fraudulent or unethical behavior in the workers' compensation system
Steve,
is harming injured workers.
You know, Steve, you make an interesting point about the insurance companies. Now, where does the cost of fraud lie? The public seems to think that it's coming out of their pocket, but isn't it true that any fraud is absorbed in huge insurance company profits?
Well, in the sense that fraud in the main is perpetrated by employers, I would say that the number one amount of fraud in the economy are from employers who fail to get workers' compensation insurance. And therefore, we all are the victims, because if all employers are required to carry workers' compensation insurance to cover employees injured at work. And if they don't have it, then it is the public. That is us. And maybe the person goes to the emergency room. Maybe they say it happened in their group at home, and so they use group health. Maybe they end up on public disability. So when employers engage in fraud, or, as you mentioned, insurance companies, and we'll get to them, fail to pay for the medical care and the disability compensation that we employers buy our policies for, I mean, that's the second major component of fraud. But let's not, we do all end up paying for this fraud, but please remember that the number one source of fraud is employers who do not get workers' compensation insurance or cheat on their premiums. And I would just cite one source, and that is the District Attorney's Office of Riverside County. And they estimated a few years ago, they said the extent of employer fraud is pandemic.
Wow.
And they said that, just think about this for a minute.
Yeah.
This is coming from the District Attorney's Office of Riverside County, saying that thousands of companies in Riverside County alone are either operating without workers' comp insurance or seriously cheating on their premiums. And
That's crazy.
I mean, thousands just in Riverside.
Wow. You know, and I remember just last week I had three new clients come in, and what they told me is that their employer said that they were going to pay for all their hospital bills, not to file a workers' comp claim, that they would take care of it. But they were smart enough to come to an attorney.
So that's another source of fraud, where employers who do not want to see a hike in their workers' comp insurance premiums will actually encourage their employees to engage in fraud, because that is illegal, of course. This system is there to cover medical care expenses and disability compensation for injuries at work. And again, as we've mentioned, if the insurance companies and the employers do not take care of their obligation, it is actually the public that ends up paying for that.
Okay, but I have a question just to kind of ask on the other side. A lot of employers who have companies, small businesses, will say that the premiums from the insurance companies are ridiculously high. And when one person, an employee, gets injured, their premiums skyrocket all of a sudden. Is this true? Does this happen?
I think it can be true. Certainly not always true, but it's certainly sometimes true. And
you know, I'm an employer too, and I have people in my office who have workers' comp claims. It's an insurance system. Our premiums have not risen to the degree that the propaganda out there suggests that they would. And the fact of the matter is, if someone gets injured on the job, isn't it true that they should be able to be put into the system and get proper medical treatment and get indemnity benefits if they can't work?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, California Applicants Attorneys Association believe that our workers' compensation insurance system is broken. I mean, as you well know, every single employee injured at work gave up their right to sue.
Right.
You get a minimal amount. Say if you lose a leg in a car accident, you might get, just pick a number, you know, several hundred thousand dollars. You lose a leg at work, you will get maybe $60,000. The disparity in what employees injured at work gave up in order to get back supposedly this guaranteed no-fault system of medical care and support for your disabilities, a compensation for your permanent disabilities and support for your temporary disabilities, so you can maintain some income for your family while you heal and try to return to work. That system is not happening. The employees are not getting their share of the bargain.
And I think that the public doesn't really realize, a lot of people don't know, that you've also waived pain and suffering. You can't collect for all the suffering that you experience as a result of your injury if you lose your leg as a result of a horrific accident or something.
And, of course, insurance companies, this is just a numbers game for them. And, you know, the rates go up, the rates go down, the profits go up, the profits go down. But there is a cycle, but these are incredibly wealthy and profitable corporations. If you look at any decade, they have made billions of dollars in the past decade just in California. They may not be as profitable in terms of return on their policies right now, but believe me, they will correct that. And the fundamental flaw in this pricing system is that every employer, as we've said, is required to purchase workers' compensation insurance policies, and yet it is the only form of insurance that is completely unregulated in its price.
That's right.
So you have the government requiring that you purchase this and yet refusing to exercise any price regulation. I mean, look at auto insurance. You're required to have it, and they're regulated as to how much price and therefore and how much profit and how much medical insurance. You know, they're required to put X amount of each dollar back into care. None of these types of requirements, regulations, or price controls exist in workers' comp, and that's a problem.
It is a problem. You're listening to 790 Talk Radio, KABC. I'm Alan Gervey on Gervey's Law with Bailey Radden. We're talking to Steve Hopcraft, who is an expert on public relations and campaign management professionals, and what he's telling us is how this system is broken. Now, Steve, I want to know how the legislation in workers' compensation, specifically SB 863 that was passed in August of 2012, how the legislators do not see through all of this insurance company fraud, all of the insurance company profits, and they're actually passing laws right now that will hurt the injured worker and provide them with less disability indemnity and treatment than they had in the past?
Well, legislators have very little personal experience with workers' compensation insurance, and it is a world that is sort of unique and off to the side. You never really notice it until and unless you get injured at work, and then it means everything to you. And legislators are just like the rest of us. They don't really pay that close attention to it. You know, compare workers' compensation to public education. They all know people, you know, all their constituents deal with the public schools or the universities,
right,
and it's something they encounter every day. And workers' comp is just its own little world, so they don't have a natural base of knowledge or experience. And the insurance companies and major employers have lobbies. They have overwhelming amount of resources that they take from charging the unregulated prices, and they pour it into lobbying. They pour it into gifts. They pour it into schmoozing with the legislators, and, you know, they misrepresent what's going on.
So how are they getting away with this, though? I mean, tell us about the medical care and the disability compensation. Are there penalties for not providing, or is it just a free-for-all where the insurance companies can deny everything and leave the injured worker out in the streets, literally, to survive off of the public, you know, Medicare or Social Security disability?
Well, I think it's quite well documented that insurance companies regularly fail to pay deserved benefits, benefits that are for a loss of a finger, say, or for medical care for surgery, that these are valid work injuries and necessary and legitimate medical care, and they just don't pay them. Maybe they owe a certain amount of permanent disability compensation. And it is absolutely endemic that they fail to pay these required benefits. Over and over, we have seen the failure to pay. They audit the files every year, and it comes back with maybe 25% of these claims have a late payment or no payment. It's outrageous. So what are the penalties? The penalties are very insignificant to a multi-billion dollar insurance company. That is, maybe the penalty is 10% of the particular medical bill that's not paid. So say it's a $500 bill for somebody's physical therapy, so they owe $50. Well, they've made more than $50 by keeping that money. Remember, this is just a game of numbers played by accountants and insurance underwriters, and we all know that the more of the premium dollar that they keep by not paying out, whether it's legitimate or ordered or necessary, they don't care. They are all about the bottom line, and they are going to keep as much of that dollar for as long as possible. And
they're making money on it.
Penalty. Yeah, so if I'm making $100 off of keeping your $500 and investing it for the year that
That's
I didn't
right.
pay it to you, why am I not going to pay that $50 fine?
I always kick myself when I don't invest in these workers' comp insurance companies. Last year, it's unbelievable what kind of money they made.
Well, I applaud you for not doing so, because I think that would be a conflict for you.
Well, for me, it would. But I'll tell you that people don't realize that that's really the bottom line for these insurance companies. And the injured workers who we see every day can't understand it because they're in pain and they're not getting the treatment that they need.
So there are companies that have as a business model to simply delay and deny. And they do it on a massive scale, and they do it in tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of cases. And you can just add up the money in your mind. I mean, making small amounts on all those little cases, they're making huge amounts.
I deal with that every day, the delay and them saving, the insurance company saving money through that delay. But when I talk to people about what goes on in workers' compensation law, it's as if they don't believe me. It's as if they're just believing what the media says about everyone being a fraud, all injured workers are frauds. How do we change how people, just the public, views workers' compensation, that it's actually real, that these injuries are real, and that these people need help? Because I have a hard time when I just talk to family members about explaining what's really going on with insurance companies. How do we change that?
Well, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, many injured workers won't file a claim even when they are entitled to, because of the stigma associated
I see it all
with
the
being
time.
An injured worker.
Right.
This is a conscious campaign that the insurance companies went on. The Los Angeles Times did quite a revealing expose some years ago.
Yeah, that was in 2000.
I mean, look, it's a business. Why would you not invest money in misleading the public so that when they're injured, they don't file a claim against you? I mean, it just, you know, when you look at it from their point of view in terms of just being a business decision, separating out the ethics of it or the fairness of it, because they're not concerned with that. They are only concerned with, you know, getting away with the practices that maximize their profits. But we've got to fight back and show that the fraud is really on the employer side, and it is fraud for these insurance companies to fail. And we've got to – I tell you that the answer to begin with, I believe, is to go on a campaign to expose this delay and denial and
Steve.
To demand more effective penalties, because we all know that they're going to continue
That's
to do
right.
this business practice
you
until
know what it
reminds
me
of? Not profitable
of?
For them anymore.
It reminds me of when I teach my class on women's rights and the history of women's rights. The media has portrayed being a feminist as this man-hating, terrible thing. I don't know if you've heard feminazi, but it scares young women into fighting for equality because they're afraid to associate themselves as feminists. And I see the same thing with injured workers. They're afraid to file claims because they are associating it with shame and fraud and that everyone's going to see them differently.
So, Steve, on Gervie's Law, we always talk about everything that can go wrong can also go right, which is the opposite of Murphy's Law. As we close the segment now, can you let us know that when we think everything's going wrong, what can go right in this situation?
Well, I mean, we do have a situation. You talked about SB 863. Now, for the past 10 years, California Applicants Attorneys Association, Voters Injured at Work, the Labor Federation have all been saying that the compensation you get for a lost finger or whatever is lower in California than almost anywhere else in the country. And Governor Brown, to his credit, heard that message, and he tried to address it. Now, in his law, he addressed it by cutting $2 in, you know, what they call unnecessary expenses.
Right.
You can argue whether they're necessary or not, but savings in the system for every dollar that they increase permanent disability. I think what we have to do to make it help it be corrected and go right again is we've got to convince the governor, the legislature, and the other policymakers that the fraud of constantly denying and delaying legitimate medical care has got to stop. And once we can get legitimate treatment for injured workers approved in a timely fashion, that will mean a great deal to the hundreds of thousands of people who are injured doing their jobs
you
every
know,
year in
Steve,
California.
You're right on the button with that. And we need to have you back in a few months after you've made some strides in this area so that we can find out how the legislators are really hearing about this and changing their ways in terms of their votes. Steve Hopcraft is with Hopcraft Communications, and I understand you're running a campaign to defeat Governor Brown's water export tunnels, and that's an interesting subject that if people are interested, they can call the station, and Steve can tell them more about that. Unfortunately, we don't have time to talk about that. As well, you're heavily involved. Bailey was talking about the women's rights, and there's a California Applicant Attorneys Association's Women's Caucus Symposium, which will be in March, and we're going to promote that as the time gets closer. Steve, we are so thrilled that you could join us today on Gervie's Law, Talk Radio 790 KBC. Keep up the excellent work, and we're going to check back with you to find out just how successful you are.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve. You're listening to 790 KBC. I'm Alan Gervie. We'll be right back.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job.
job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gerby, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gerby, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gerby, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
And we are right back here at Gervie's Law on Talk Radio 790 KBC. There has been so much drama today, Bailey. This is a subject that has got you really hot, if you weren't hot already.
Yes, this is a very sensitive topic because we deal with it every day.
What kind of examples of this fraud in the workplace for injured workers do you deal with? And for people who are just joining us now, we're talking about workers' comp fraud, but we're talking about it from the employers and the insurance perspective of being the fraudulent people involved, not simply the injured worker who we always hear about in the media, the propaganda about everyone is a fraud, but at our firm, the law firm of Rowan, Gerby, and Wynn, we handle thousands of workers' comp cases, and we rarely see fraudulent people. Rarely.
Well, I think that the system of workers' compensation is just that. It's a system, and no system is perfect. You can't have a perfect system. So you're going to see fraud on both sides. The idea is to minimize it all. But I think that the public forgets that employers can be fraudulent too.
Yeah.
I have a client who, or had a client who was a waitress, and the employers,
a server,
and the employers would cut their time because the economy was kind of bad, and they wouldn't pay them minimum wage. They would say, "Well, if you want to work, you can just get tips," which is illegal. That's a labor law issue because
right.
you have to pay minimum wage. But then when they got injured, they ended up calculating their disability rate based on the less hours worked
right.
and not the actual hours worked.
Notwithstanding, she was actually putting in the time and should have been earning money. We are seeing that all the time. There is so much pressure on employers to make money, and people will go to any lengths. In fact, I remember some years back, probably about 9 years ago, there was a book called The Cheating Culture by David Callahan. He's a well-known author, and he talks about why more Americans are doing wrong to get ahead. And it's because you can. That's the thing. There aren't as many penalties and sanctions out there. As Steve Hopcraft, who was our last guest, was talking about, people can get away with it. And the employers can make millions off cheating the employees.
Well, I don't know. Is it the employers or the insurance companies who are making the money?
I think it's both.
I don't agree with that.
What do you think?
I think that employers and businesses are victims to the workers' compensation system, too. I think that the insurance companies are the ones that are winning at the end of the day. The employers are paying high premiums, and the insurance companies are not paying out when someone gets injured.
Right.
The injured workers are going on to public services like state disability and Social Security, and all of the profits are going to the insurance companies. I don't think that it's necessarily just employers trying to beat the system.
People do not understand that it's in the insurance company's best interest to just raise their premiums. They want to see people injured on the job because they can increase their premiums. There's actually an inherent conflict between the employers and the insurance companies, but people don't realize it. And the insurance companies are often laughing to the bank.
Well, yeah, the public doesn't know, and business owners don't realize that their premiums are being increased not because there's an increase in injured workers filing injuries.
Right.
It's the raising of the cost of the claims as a justification to increase premiums to the employers.
So why do they fight like hell to deny benefits?
Because it's the float. It's the float of the money that they have. To delay paying out the amount of money that they have so they can invest it in other things. I mean, that's my understanding. Isn't
it
yours?
The market is great, and they are making so much money. They could care less about paying out $1 million on a quadriplegic case when they can take the premiums and invest them and triple and quadruple their profits.
And that's the insurance companies.
That's the insurance companies. You know, but at the Rowan Gervian Wynn Law Firm, we see every day people coming in and just beside themselves because they don't understand what they got into when they get into a claim for workers' compensation. They think that it's real easy, that the insurance company is just going to accept everything, and they don't. But they're really injured and they can't work. The one thing I see most often is people saying, I can't work. I want to work, but I can't, and no one's helping me.
And people don't realize how complicated the California workers' compensation system is. They don't understand that the rules to navigate through the system by yourself is like virtually impossible to do. You need someone to help you. You need an advocate who's in the trenches every day.
That's true. And, you know, I tell people that all the time. I don't care if you come to us or another firm. It's just important that you have a representative. They think that everything's okay. They say, oh, well, they sent me to a doctor. What doctor did they send you to? A doctor who's never found an injury, a work injury in his lifetime or her lifetime?
And you know what the interesting thing is, Alan? When the claims are handled correctly, when the insurance company does do what they're supposed to do, and the injured worker gets the medical benefits and the benefits, they get better quickly and they go back to work or they move on with their life and the cost remains very low.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and that's really the important thing that we have to remember from this is that there is a positive here. This is where Gervy's law kicks in, that everything that can go wrong can also go right. I remember I had a client who was injured on the job and she couldn't go back to do the job that she had been trained to do. And she took the money that she received from her compensation for her permanent disability and she turned it into a huge multi-million dollar corporation. She is now so successful that she won't even talk to me anymore. And it was that little bit of money that she got from her workers' comp case that turned her whole life around. And she's working within her restrictions. She had a great adjuster, the employer who was supportive, and it ended up that she went through the system the way it's supposed to be.
It's
and that's
true.
Making things right from something that can go wrong.
It's true. I mean, I have a client, too, who he went through the workers' compensation system. He got medical treatment. He wasn't able to do the same job that he did when he got injured. And so he actually wrote to me and said, guess what? I'm going to law school now because I'm going to help people.
Really?
Yeah. It was really sweet. He's going to law school. He wants to help other people who are injured and get them through the system. And it's just really great to see that he didn't just end up making all this money and doing nothing. He got some benefits and he moved on with his life and he's going to school.
You know, a lot of people do that. And the fact of the matter is that we feel very proud and very good about what we do when we can help. And I think insurance adjusters and employers also can feel the same way. That is such a positive way to look at this whole fraud conundrum.
I mean, it's true. If you're an employer, it's really hard to find good workers. And if you have a loyal employee who's a good worker, you want them to come back to work. You want to keep them. You don't want to lose them.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that's what we're here for, the law firm of Rowan, Gervy & Wynn. I'm Alan Gervy. I'm here with Bailey Rad. We will handle your workers' compensation claims to get you to feel better and get back to work and to make things right where there may be some things lurking in the background with the insurance companies and employers. You have been listening to Gervy's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
The preceding program was a paid commercial announcement. The sponsor is responsible for its content, which Talk Radio 790 KABC does not necessarily endorse or support.